I wanted to have you on because there's been a lot of conversation leading into the Summit of the Americas, and now it's happening or going to happen. I can't find a schedule anywhere, but it supposedly today's the first day. And the latest that I've heard is that AMLO, Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, he's not going. He's boycotted. Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba have been shut out. Predictably, but there was a lot of conversation leading into it about, well, would Biden allow at least a Cuban official of some kind there if it's not the president? So, what are your reactions to the Summit of the Americas? What can you tell us about it? What's the significance of it? And yeah, what are some of the things that you've been covering slash paying attention to in regards to this occasion?
Well, right as I was about to join you, the Cuban Foreign Ministry has just released a statement, only in Spanish. Of course, we can always translate that on Casacho News. That's something we would do. But typically, the Cuban Foreign Ministry will get it out shortly in English. But it's basically just a complete rejection, a denunciation, denouncement of this confirmed exclusion of Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela from the Summit of the Americas. But they've been working on this guest list. Supposedly, the State Department and the White House has been working on the guest list for the Summit of the Americas for many months and in recent weeks. And this has included negotiations, begging, desperate appeals to governments for them to come be a part of this summit in Los Angeles, which is taking place this week, beginning tomorrow. And a lot of governments, as you know, governments of CARICOM, governments of ALBA TCP, and around the region have said that they don't want to participate. Heads of state and government specifically have said that they themselves don't want to be there attending in person if these three governments, Nicaragua, Cuba, and Venezuela, are excluded. And it was only last night that the White House confirmed to some outlets, and their White House correspondents, that in fact those countries would be excluded. This is information that reporters of the White House, White House correspondents, and State House accredited reporters have been begging for a really long time. Week after week, just about at least, let's say, half of all press conferences that were held by Ned Price at the State Department and by the former and now current White House spokesperson for Biden, they've been demanding this information. Who's invited? Are these people going to be excluded? Are they going to be inviting Juan Guaido? What are you going to do if these governments and these presidents, such as AMLO, are not going to attend? Isn't this important? And so this morning we found out that a major blow was dealt to Biden and the US administration. Because in his morning press conference, President Lopez Obrador confirmed that he will not be confirming, given the news that those exclusions of those three countries is imminent. And he unfortunately will be sending his foreign minister, Ebrard, to participate. I think a lot of the governments who unfortunately will be attending in some form, whether it is sending their foreign minister or an ambassador or someone else, they have said that they're going in order to make sure that these voices are heard, the voices of Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua. They're going in order to denounce their absence, the absence of the different governments of our America. And so they're ensuring that the different voices will be heard. President Nicolas Maduro of Venezuela has said that as well, that his voice and the voice of Venezuela will be heard at the summit in one way or another. And also, he has voiced support for the different counter summits and the different actions that are taking place around Los Angeles and also in Tijuana this coming week. We at Casacho News are actually we're covering about three of these mobilizations that are being held against the failed Biden summit. We have a correspondent there, Abraham Marquez, and so just to list them off really quickly, we have the People Summit for Democracy, which is possibly going to be the largest one. And there's going to be a lot of panels, and some really great leftist and anti-imperialist voices will be taking part in some of the panels there. And then there's also the anti-imperialist summit of Nuestra America that is largely organized by Unión del Barrio, and you know, with the participation of Black Alliance for Peace and a lot of other largely LA-based organizations. And there's also the Workers' Summit that's taking place in Tijuana, which will have some participation from organizations like Alliance for Global Justice. We'll be covering all of those. So it's going to be a very busy week. And I just think it's very important to hear the voices of people who are not only part of the Latin American and Caribbean diaspora in the US, but also, you know, we might hear some participation from people from leftist and revolutionary parties from around Latin America who will actually be able to participate in that. And they'll be denouncing the absence of some very critical voices and the most important governments of our region from Biden's failed summit.
Yeah, no, I mean, that sounds like a really busy week for you, but incredibly important. And I'm really happy to hear that there is so much counter resistance, so much resistance to this Biden summit. I find it really interesting that you have both this resistance that's building from various organizations and movements across the left. And you also have, as you said, Biden's failed summit, and that the words Biden and fail seem to go together quite frequently of late. Why do you think, I mean, at this moment, it seems like, one, in Latin America, there is a sort of a growth or consolidation of the left, so to speak. There has been a recent victories, and it seems like there is more of a bold stance right now to Biden than there may have been in the past. What do you think is drawing this kind of resistance? And do you see, and as you mentioned, there are some contradictions here. You mentioned Mexico, the president, you know, AMLO not going, but sending his foreign minister. I think we also had Argentina, right? Alberto Fernandez, he's going, but he's unhappy with what's going on. How do you see these contradictions, a boycott versus no boycott? And what do you think, I mean, what do you think about this? Like, why is this such a failure now? Like, what? Why? Like, what is the context for this utter, what seems to be like just a diplomatic nightmare for Biden in a very critical time?
Yeah, it is a nightmare, and it's an outright failure, and it needs to be said, and everybody feels the same. This is across the board. Everyone knows that. Of course, there are some countries that will always be by the side of the U.S. That is, of course, outgoing Iván Duque of Colombia. We have a number of puppet governments in Latin America, also in the Caribbean, in the case of Jamaica and Haiti. But you know, this announcement this morning, this confirmation by President AMLO, is very important because what we've heard from the State Department just recently last week in a telephone press conference was that, you know, one of the most important things that's going to be taking place at Biden's, Biden Almagro's Summit of the Americas is the signing of an agreement on migration. The issue of migration is something that the Biden administration has used to try to reach out to different countries, including Haiti, including Mexico. And of course, it's an issue that involves Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, very much, you know, the Northern Triangle of Central America. And what we know even beyond Mexico's absence, of course, what they wanted was for President López Obrador to be there for the in-person signing, so that at least, you know, these big major heads would be there together. And they would have that photo op, and it would be of great significance and, you know, very central to what was to be accomplished in this summit. But not only will AMLO not be there, though his presentation will be, we heard, you know, in previous weeks that even the right-wing president of Guatemala was saying that he was not going to be there because of some of the what they consider to be interventionist moves by the United States, commenting on the way in which they run their own country. So, you know, just they denounced, you know, some of the statements that were made by the United States. And of course, Nayib Bukele, who's also a neoliberal hack, who's also, you know, just, you know, in no way any sort of anti-imperialist. He's no sort of revolutionary, certainly not a socialist. He has also, you know, for a while now denounced what he considers to be meddling by the United States and interventionist statements. And he has also, you know, refrained from supporting certain certain resolutions in the UN, for example, and has opted for, you know, what they consider to be a more neutral stance. And so there's a chance that Nayib Bukele wouldn't be attending. And of course, Diomara Castro, who took office in Honduras as president in January, has also said that she would not be a part in person of the Summit of the Americas if those three heads of state were excluded. Those are the most important countries, apart from, you know, Haiti and some of those nearby Caribbean nations, with regards to the issue of migration. So that's a failure. Another failure, of course, is that we have so many countries that have either stood by Cuba and Venezuela, to a lesser extent Nicaragua, you know, throughout these recent years, and they are, you know, denouncing that they're not there. But we have also, you know, a lot of countries are beginning to rebuild or bolster those relations with Venezuela. Now that Venezuela is bouncing back economically, and they're in a period of, you know, very undeniable recovery, and it's unbelievable. And so a lot of countries are wanting to do, you know, more and more with Venezuela. And so they're absolutely detesting this. And so it's a very strange time. So as far as, you know, how the tide is turning in the United States among those organizations who'll be participating in some of these counteractions, to me, it's been unbelievable. We have a lot of content that we haven't had time to get out. There's a lot going on here in Bolivia as well. But, you know, we've had a lot of, we've done some great interviews and gotten some great sound bites, and there's been some very good panels of people based in the U.S. Some of them are Chicano, others are Black American, and others are part of other, you know, diaspora communities. And, you know, their level of consciousness, you know, anti-imperialist fervor, of knowledge is just, you know, it's unbelievably high compared to, I think, what we would have seen a few years ago. People are really doing some great organizing and some great outreach with other, you know, other organizations and popular movements in the countries that they're from or other countries that they're in solidarity with. And so, you know, I think this has the potential to grow into something much greater. That's what we heard from some of the organizations, such as Unión del Barrio, such as Black Alliance for Peace, and other Chicano organizations there in the U.S., that they want to use this to bring people together, and that Biden actually, his failure of this summit, of this, you know, Biden OAS El Magro summit, is actually doing a great deal of work and a service to the anti-imperialist movement in the U.S. Yeah. Because it's an opportunity to educate people and to speak about what the issues are. And, you know, they're talking about issues that either won't be addressed at the summit, or they're going to be addressed in a very, you know, silly way by supposed civil society actors, is what they're being called. That's what's going on today in terms of what you had mentioned, that you said it's very difficult to find the kind of schedule of the OAS summit. And that's, of course, because it hasn't been really released. They've been making it up as they go. They've been trying to figure out who they could get because they've been begging for attendance. So what they're doing is they're bringing in civil society actors. They're bringing in youth, and they're bringing in the private sector. And they're doing this because they can't get anyone important or relevant to come here, except for, of course, those same puppets that we know. And so today they're going to have a day of workshops. Officially, the Summit of the Americas begins tomorrow, but today they'll be having a civil society set of panels. And it's a bunch of, you know, youth or supposedly young people, people who really only exist on Twitter. You can't even Google them to find out who they are and what they really do. And they're probably people who were groomed in areas or, you know, arenas such as the Oslo Freedom Forum, or, you know, are basically on the State Department payroll. That to me is not civil society, but they'll be speaking about issues such as indigenous rights and the environment and all these things, but obviously in a very superficial way that's only for the cameras. In contrast, at these different anti-imperialist summits and people summits that are going to be going on in these panels, they're going to be speaking about the issues that impact working class people, both in the US and in Latin America and the Caribbean and throughout the global South.
Yeah. Well, when you mention the civil society, I can only think of just like proxy forces that are all geared toward targeting the very governments that are excluded from this summit of the Americas, and also
that's exactly
others.
What it is, because you know what, one of the things that they've said in these, you know, a lot of the way we get some of the information about, you know, what's really going to happen at this summit of the Americas, what the conversations are, is actually from going to these right-wing U.S. outlets, Voice of America, Miami Herald, CNN, outlets like these. And what's really interesting is what they're reporting is actually kind of accurate right now, because there's no denying that the U.S. policy in Venezuela and the blockade and the sanctions and the regime change attempt to install Guaido and everything else has failed. And they're actually asking those questions. They're bringing those questions to the forefront and they're demanding answers. And so, you know, what the answers have been, repeatedly by the different State Department officials is that there's going to be representation by these different, all these countries, that all these countries will be represented in some form, including the ones who said that they're not going to be attending or the ones who are excluded by civil society actors. And, you know, I was reading even in this morning in Bolivian media, Página Siete, it's a right-wing outlet, and they released an interview that they conducted with a State Department official who came here to Bolivia in recent days, perhaps last week. And he, is not an official. I don't think that anyone would know. And he said that they did attempt to get a hold of President Luis Arce of Bolivia and government officials, and they weren't able to. So they basically just came here in order to hold a meeting and, you know, conduct business with their own embassy. It's really sad. And Luis Arce himself has, you know, said that he's not going to be attending the meeting. He will actually be sending representatives. Unfortunately, one of them may include the president of the Senate, Andronico Rodriguez, who's also the vice president of the Six Federations, which is the campesino union that's associated with our outlet. But he said that the State Department official said that, he said that while Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela won't be there, we will have, you know, citizens, private sector, youth, and civil society, as well as, you know, in the case of Bolivia. I mean, these are just random people, but they're not so random, because some of these are people who've actually, you know, had a long history of, again, being on the State Department payroll itself. So they will be expressing, you know, the sorts of lines that we hear all the time, talking about authoritarianism, saying that it's political persecution against Jeanine Añez, for example, or against, the State Department paid CIA actors in Cuba. Those are the sorts of issues they're going to be raising. Those are not the issues that people are concerned with here in Latin America at all. People are concerned about imperialism. They're concerned about, protection and defense of their resources and national sovereignty. And they believe that the pathway to economic prosperity and success is to be able to control our resources, get a hold of our currency, be able to produce, expand production, trade, have amicable relations with our neighbors and with, you know, whoever we want to overseas, and develop jointly with China, with Russia, and with Iran. These are the types of things we want implemented. And of course, they will not be speaking about that in any of Almagro's forums.